Welcome to recoverydaily.com, your daily haven of hope and healing. Here, we embrace the journey of living one day at a time. Join us as we share stories, insights, and the gentle reminders that guide us on the path to recovery. So, take a deep breath, settle in, and let's begin today's step toward serenity.
Everybody, and welcome to Living One Day at a Time. I'm your host, Jim P. And again, this week, I am joined by our co-host, Keith. Keith, say hi to the folks.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Yes, of course. All right, today's episode is titled Step 2. And as we've talked about in the past, we're covering the steps because the principles that we gain from learning and practicing the step are what we need to live one day at a time. In the future, we'll have episodes that cover people's routines and stories and stuff. But for now, we want to give you the tools that you're going to need to live one day at a time. So today, step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, to be honest, one of the great fears that one of the co-founders of AA had, Bill W., was that people would not understand what was meant by this. He was afraid that many alcoholics, upon hearing that step or even hearing that we had God in our steps, would make people believe that we were going to try to indoctrinate them into our religion or our doctrine of belief. And nothing can be further from the truth. And I think a good example of how this step works comes from Bill W.'s story right out of the big book. He had reached a place in his drinking career where he was literally at the very end. He had reached the very end of his drinking career. He had been in and out of the sanitarium a number of times, and he had gotten to the place where they told his wife that the only thing left for him was to either lock him away, if they could afford that, which they could not, or get his affairs in order because he was going to die. One way or the other, he was going to die from alcohol-related illness or accident or even suicide. So that's the place that we find him in this part of his story. And he's at home and he's drinking and his wife comes, tells him that friend of his, an old drinking buddy, they were drinking buddies. They had been through it all and he had been in and out of sanitariums and everything else as well, was coming to visit him. And of course, this made Bill excited because now he would actually have an excuse to drink at home in front of his wife instead of trying to hide it because his old drinking buddy was coming. And so when he gets there, his name's Ebby. And when he gets there, Bill notices right away that there's something very different about Ebby. He looks good. He looks healthy. He looks bright and cheerful and everything. And Ebby announces to him that he's sober. And of course, Bill is amazed because he knew Ebby was at least as bad as him, if not worse. I mean, that's the kind of alcoholic that Ebby was. And so Ebby says to, you know, he asks Ebby, how did you do this? He'd been sober like 3 months or something, which was impossible for both of them. And so Ebby says, well, I found religion. And Bill says to me, well, oh, geez, you know, I can't do that. I don't believe in all of that. I distrust all of that. I don't think I can do that. And to be fair, that's the way Bill had been raised. His grandparents raised him and his grandfather was very anti-religion. Though he was a spiritual man, he liked to go walk in the mountains and felt like he communed with whatever there was, nature, whatever, but he considered himself a spiritual man, but he very anti-religious. And so Bill had a whole lot of that. Plus he had served at the end of World War I and had seen the kind of things that people do in war. And he just had a hard time believing that there was a God, or if there was, why would he let all these things happen? And so Bill just said, I can't do that. And so Abby said to him, well, if what you believe separates you from God, maybe you need to find another way of believing. Maybe you need a different God. And so with that, Bill, it just dawned on him, oh, okay, I can set all that aside and just start over.
So it's almost like willingness to believe is what you're talking about here.
Exactly, willingness. And that's talked about in the basic text of NA, that the three fundamental things that we need is willingness, open-mindedness, and honesty.
So what you're saying is it's a willingness to believe.
Yes, it's a willingness to believe. And so with that, Bill said, okay, let me give it a try. But he was at the time, had been drinking so long that he decided to check himself back into the sanitarium so he wouldn't go into the DTs or whatever. And then he was in there a couple of days. And he then finally said a prayer, you know, God, I'm yours. I'm open to whatever. And he had a dramatic spiritual experience. And so that was the beginning for him. But what allowed him to begin, what allowed him to do that, was a willingness to be open-minded to something new spiritually. And so that consequently has become the foundation for step two. Came to believe. For many of us coming in, we are either atheist or agnostic or have resentments against God, or perhaps we've even been involved in religion but never got the kind of results that we needed. We never could stay sober regardless of all the religious ceremonies that we went through. And so people come in not hopeful that they can actually pull this off. And all that's really required in step two is to be open-minded that there is something that can help you that's greater than you. You know, if we think back to step one, we came to the conclusion that what we have is an incurable disease. And so our only hope is that there is something greater than ourselves that can help us, because there is no other help that we know of for certain.
It sounds like a desperate act, an act of desperation, but isn't that how we ended up here, because we were a little desperate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's funny, even in the big book, it says, okay, you've convinced us how dire our situation is, but now you throw us up against the wall of religion. But the answer is no, we're not doing that. We don't expect you to believe anything other than what you feel comfortable with. You get to start with your own conception. And again, if the conception you've had up till now hasn't worked for you, then perhaps it is time for you to start fresh, to start new and be open to something different. Now, in the big book, it talks about if you really want to get a start, all you have to do is be open to the idea that there may be a spirit of the universe. And it says if you can get there, then you're on your spiritual path. But since then, we've learned that we had to make it even easier for some people. I mean, just some people are going to refuse that there is a power greater than themselves, that like God or a spirit of the universe or whatever. And so now we've come up with, and it's consistent with our second tradition, you know, that for our group purpose, there's only one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, that you can actually rely on your group or AA itself as your higher power. You know, we have found, and I've heard people say in meetings that feel that way, that when we come together as a group of alcoholics trying to help each other stay clean and sober, or an NA or whatever fellowship it is, that there seems to be a spirit among us, that we rise above who we are as individuals and come up with solutions and principles that are greater than ourselves.
So this is almost like a moment of surrender. For a lot of us,
it is a moment of surrender, because just as we did when we declared that we were an alcoholic, you know, for the first time, we had to come to that realization. We had to set aside everything we had believed about ourselves and our life up to that point. Now we're going to do the same thing with our spiritual life. We're going to set everything that we had believed before aside and start over. Now, that's not to say that the things you believed in before aren't true, but we're going to start to look at them more carefully. We're going to start fresh. And those things that will work for you going forward, you pull back into your spirituality. In fact, many people, once they get on the path of recovery, will return to their religion, their Christian or Buddhist or whatever, with greater zeal and vigor than they had before, because they have a better understanding. Instead of following religious rules, they're now following a spiritual path.
So you're just getting back on a spiritual path, something that you're not trying to wrestle with life so much on your own. Correct?
That's correct. What we've found is that we have never been able to do it by ourselves, regardless of what we've tried. And we talked a lot about that in step one. But now we're open to the idea that we need help and it has to come from outside of ourselves. There are things that are going to have to take place in us and around us that we just don't have control over. And we're going to have to start to rely, even if it's only on the group, for solutions and answers to questions in life that we can't come up with on our own. One of the things that we've talked about before, especially in step zero, was that for us, we don't have the ability to think ourselves into right acting. We have to act our way into right thinking. And so for us, the spiritual life is going to be the same thing. We're going to start to act, and you'll hear this in meetings, we're going to start to act as if, you know, as if there really is a power greater than ourselves, and start to take action along those lines. We're going to pray in the morning. We're going to try to live by what we believe are spiritual principles based on what we believe. And then as we do that, we start to see results in our lives and the lives of the people around us. That's one of the other reasons why it's important to go to meetings, is because we get to see other people change and talk about the things that happened in their life that they can only attribute to their higher power acting or intervening in their life or within themselves. And so we see that happen around us, and then we start to see it happen in our life. And one of the things that we'll say in meetings is that our faith is based on the evidence of things hoped for.
So we're not having to swallow the whole ball of wax, so to speak, right now. We're just in a state of becoming willing to accept this. Am I hearing you right?
Yes, exactly. To just be open-minded, to keep your eyes open for the things that are happening around you. Many of us find that what is a spiritual experience to us, or a spiritual revelation to us, is something that only we can feel or define. It's difficult to explain it to somebody else, but it's obvious to us that something intervened inside of ourselves or around us in our relations and our jobs or whatever difficulties we may be facing. And many of us have quite a few difficulties when we first come in, and it's easy to be discouraged about things working out in your life, because for us, our experience has little or no shows no evidence of things working out. For us, things never worked out. I mean, we would be successful from time to time, but we would tear our life down. And so for us, we were always waiting for the next shoe to drop. And so for us, when we first get here, it's hard to imagine that our life can get better, especially with the problems that we have built up around us. But as we move forward in recovery and start living this life one day at a time, we see things happening that we didn't think possible to happen. You know, relationships healed and old scores settled and all that kind of stuff. And so we see these things take place in our life. So that's the crux of what we mean, came to believe, that it's a process. It's not something that happens right in a moment, that we move forward, and our faith, again, is based on our experiences and the experiences of those around us. And so we get to see these things happen. And as they do, then we start to rely on this power that's greater than ourselves, regardless of where you're starting.
And acknowledging the insaneness of our lives, because we're admitting the insaneness of our lives because we're longing for the restoration of sanity.
Yes, yes. And for some, the idea of insanity seems to be a bit strong. And so that can be a difficult part of this step as well, that we need to be restored to sanity. But when you think about it, you know, the life that we were living, if viewed from the outside, would seem insane to anybody, because we were doing things that were counter to our own well-being. You know, we were destroying ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, relationships, jobs. We were tearing it all down and couldn't see it.
We all ended up here for a good reason. So it's not like this is something to seek out. We all ended up here in some sort of act of desperation.
Exactly. We certainly did. And again, the idea that we were insane is hard to avoid when you take an honest look at your life. And of course, that's something we're going to do deeper in further steps. But for now, it should be easy to recognize that how we got here and all the things that led us to getting here, if viewed from the outside, would seem apparently insane to anyone else, because who would do that to themselves? Often you'll hear people say in meetings that, we were our own worst enemy. But we couldn't see that until we got here and started to be honest about who we are and what we are and what we're up against. And that's something that we can never forget, is what we're up against, because it necessitates, again, the need for something greater than ourselves to help us to restore us to that sanity where we can have a useful and productive life.
For those of you who are thinking this is a far reach, we all spent much time thinking that the next drink was going to deliver us from whatever state we were in.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been there already. The power greater than ourselves was usually alcohol. And by sanity, we were thinking that we're just going to manipulate how we're feeling, but that don't work no more for any of us.
Right, right. And that, what a good, great point that is, because for those that think, well, I've done fine up till now without a higher power, the truth is, no, you've been under the control of a higher power for a long time. Whatever your addiction was ruled in your life. It necessitated who you would be with or not be with, where you would go, where you wouldn't go, what you would do, what you wouldn't do. It ruled everything. It was the deciding factor in every piece of your life. You just didn't realize it. I mean, you know, who would want to be around you the way that you drank or drugged or whatever that you did? And you wouldn't want anybody in your life that didn't do the same things. And so it dictated your entire life. So you have been living under the spell of a higher power up till now anyway. And the first step, we talked about how your life had become unmanageable. And a big part of that was because of the insanity. And so the idea that you were ever in control of your life or had the ability to control your life and could rationally make decisions about your life, I mean, that ship sailed a long time ago. So the question you have to ask yourself now is, am I going to continue to let that rule my life? Or am I willing to let something else come in and take control, but take control in a way that I benefit from, that the people around me benefit from, and that I get to grow. And instead of searching for meaning and purpose, I find meaning and purpose to my life. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. Absolutely.
So, and then, and, you know, and to be honest, both of our, you know, many of our books and our fellowships talk about, you know, that we have, especially in the modern age, we live by faith all the time. I mean, even till this day, we really don't understand electricity, but we fully expect that when we turn the switch on, the light's going to come on. You know, scientists can't explain how it works. All we know is that it does. And so we live by that kind of faith, or we live by the faith that we, you know, have the ability to do something, or that we can go to work and they're going to pay us. Or we put faith in things all the time that we don't really control. We just have to hope it's going to work out the way that we planned. Like I said, we go to work for a company and hope they don't go out of business or whatever, but we put our faith in things all the time. We live by faith. We almost have to. Even the atheist has to live by faith in the things that are around him and the people that are around him, that they can be trustworthy and that sort of thing. And so faith is a common part of our life already. So to put faith in something new, for many of us, especially the atheist or the agnostic, to put our faith in something that is outside of ourselves, that we can't touch or we can't put our hands on, like much like electricity, it can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be difficult. Like we said before, you can start off at the absolute bare minimum and stay there for as long as you need to. You know, again, our faith is built on results, and it's difficult not to see the results if you do this program, if you do these things and start to live this way. And it's difficult not to see the results in other people. You'll see people come in, and in very short order, they transform into literally new people, and, you know, entirely new, different personality, and their lives start to come together. And you see that, and they can't explain it, you know, except for that something greater than themselves intervened in their life.
You see the lights come on.
Absolutely. You see the lights come on in people. And it's funny because our book says often people will see it in you before you do. People will come up to you and say, hey, you look different. You're different. Something's happened to you, and you'll reflect on it and think, yeah, that's right. I didn't used to think this way. I didn't act this way before. And so it's just an amazing process. And again, it's what makes the fellowship so important, why it's so difficult to do this by yourself, because you don't get the feedback from other people. I mean, yes, your family's going to see a difference in you, but they've known you so long, it's difficult for them to get past their previous perception of you. So you have to change more dramatically for them to pick it up. But the new people that you meet around you, when they saw you come in all scared and everything in the meeting, and now see today that you're bright and bold and helpful to people and all of that, it's easy to see.
At first, for a lot of us, it's just a miracle to sit through a meeting without completely losing your mind. So if you can do that, you can see a miracle oftentimes. So I guess how it was put to me one time was just trust the process. You can see the results right in front of you every day.
Yes. And again, that's the remarkable thing about our program, is that we firmly believe that our actions will lead to results, and they do. And one of the wonderful lines out of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, is rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And to be honest, originally Bill W. wrote, we've never seen anyone fail. And up to that point, that was true. But they put in, the group put in rarely, anticipating that there would be people. But till this day, I don't think very many people fail who do truly follow our path, work these steps as they are laid out. And so you see the kind of results. And so when you go into a meeting and they say, we promise you, you never have to drink again. You never have to drug again. You never have to gamble again. You never have to do whatever it is that you're conflicted with again. It's because we know from our own experience that if we do these things and start to put trust in something greater than ourselves, we will see the results.
It makes me think of the meme that's going around, or has been going around, probably a few years old now, but aren't we all old? The possibility of getting attacked by a cat in a tank is remote, but not zero.
Right.
Hence, I think rarely is put in there. It's it's maybe a possibility, but I don't think any of us have really seen it.
That's right. I've never seen it. I mean, I've seen a lot of people in my experience, and that's all I can really share with you guys. I've seen people come and go. That's natural, but the truth is, when I see people come in and work this program, do the things that we suggest, they get the same results that I got. It's just an amazing process to see. And in fact, that's one of the true benefits of being a member of your fellowship and participating in it, is that you get to see this. You get to see almost daily reminders of the power of this higher power in people's lives, and to see that they have their own concept, whatever it is, from it, them, her, whatever, or the group, or whatever their higher power is. Doesn't matter. We don't quibble about that. We just suggest that you incorporate these spiritual principles in your life. And it starts with step two, being open-minded to the idea that there truly is something greater than you that can help you and that wants to help and has the ability to help you in ways that you could not.
So this is the point where all of a sudden new possibilities start opening up to us. We start kind of walking away from our old thoughts and beliefs a little bit.
Now, with all that said, I think it's a fair point at this time to talk about, because we mentioned it in Bill's story and you'll hear more about it. I mean, the 12th step says having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And Bill, in his story, had a dramatic spiritual experience when he did, for him, step two and step three. And our experience has been that not everybody has that. And when we talk about a spiritual experience, we're not talking about the dramatic type that happened to Bill W. Though, of course, it does happen. Even today, people will have dramatic spiritual experiences. But what we have found is that more often than not, what people have is what we call the the educational variety of spiritual experience, where you're going along, you're working these steps, you're living your life, you're trying to put your life together, and one day you suddenly realize that you are different, different in ways that you had never been able to bring about within yourself, that you're thinking differently, your perspective on life is different, your response to people is different, your relationships with people and what you're trying to get out of those relationships is different. And you just realize that you are a different person and that it cannot be explained by the amount of work that you put into it, that something happened in you, something changed in you that you couldn't bring about, but it's there and you are more the person that you had always hoped you would be going farther. And so I want to make that point because I don't want you to think that, yeah, if I do step two and then step three, I'm going to have this dramatic burning bush kind of experience, which like Bill W. had, because that's not necessary for this. What's necessary is that you have your eyes open, you have your mind open, and that you're willing to let these things take place in your life. You're just open to it. And then one day you realize it's happened. And like I said, often people will point it out to you before you even realize it. In fact, for many people, that's the beginning of their spiritual experience. Somebody will come up and say, "Hey, man, who are you? You're different," you know, or even a relative or your wife or your whatever will come and say, "Wow, you have really changed." And then you think to yourself, "Yeah, how'd that happen?" And then there you are.
It was once described to me as much like one season changing into another. It doesn't happen all at once. You might get a little taste of it here and there. Oh, it's warming up or it's cooling down. And you sort of quit paying attention. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and the air is fresh. The leaves have changed and it's fall now.
Yep, yep.
And no one told you that it would just all of a sudden was. It's a process. It's slowly developing, but one day you find yourself fully there.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to put it. And that's also, too, not to discount the types of spiritual experiences that we'll have along the way that come, like from seeing something beautiful in nature, the stars at night, or smoke coming from a chimney on a late fall autumn day. You know, I mean, those things will bring a sense of feeling of wonder, of awe to you that you never experienced before. When we were drinking and drugging and caught up in our addiction, we rarely could recognize the things around us, even to know what day it was or what season it was. I mean, we were just, you know, living day by day in crisis management mode, and we didn't pay much attention. And now we find that we're appreciating the things around us. And those can be little minor spiritual experiences where you realize that you're part of something much bigger and greater than you around you or hear beautiful music or whatever. So things will affect you differently as you start to build your spirituality, wherever you're starting at and, you know, wherever you end up at. I mean, it's an ongoing process that came to believe, as I said before, is a process that will go on for hopefully for the rest of your life. And so how do you work this step? How do you actually work this step? One of the suggestions that I give is that if you're an AA, then there's a wonderful chapter in the big book called We Agnostics that is very helpful. So I would suggest reading that. And the basic text there, you know, the chapter and on step two there, or their book, How and Why on Step Two, has wonderful stuff in there about, you know, making up your mind whether you can actually entertain the idea of a power greater than yourself. Those are really geared towards people that are really struggling with that, like atheists or hardcore agnostics. But then I would also suggest, kind of similar to what Bill W. did at the suggestion of Abby, is make a list of all the things that you believe separate you from God, that, you know, like, how could he let these things happen? Or how can he forgive me for these things that I've done or whatever? You know, make a list of the things you think separate you from God and share that with your sponsor and talk about it and you know, try to come up with how those really don't separate you from God. That's been our experience, is that nothing can separate you from your higher power. Our experience has been that the higher power has made it easy to find them. And so then I would suggest that you make a list of the things that you would require from a higher power, you know, like wanting to forgive you, wanting to heal you, wanting to take care of you, wanting to have your back, wanting your best interests, and that sort of thing. Make a list and start to build your conception of what a higher power is, or at least how that higher power will relate to you in your life. What can you count on from this higher power? Then I would make a list, because this will prepare you for step three, is if God's willing to do, or my higher power is willing to do these things for me, what am I willing to do? And I don't mean go to church every Sunday or something like that, but what work are you willing to do to get closer to this higher power? And so that'll start to prepare you for step three.
So are you saying that we actually have to work the step, not just blow through it?
Yes, there is some work. As with all of these steps, it's not, as I've said before, it's not checking off a box or answering the right question to a test. There's work to be done. You need to start to develop your own conception of a higher power, your own conception of your role in that process and how you're going to interact with that higher power. And that'll start to prepare you for step three. For those that are sponsoring people, that the thing that you want to make sure that your sponsee gets out of this step, you know, the way that you'll know that they're ready to move on to step three, is that they have come up with the concept of a higher power that they can articulate, that you can sit down with them and they can tell you, okay, this is what I want from my higher power, and this is what I'm willing to bring to that relationship. Because it's going to be a relationship that we develop. And so you want them to be able to articulate that, to say, going forward, start over, you know, maybe some of that stuff I'll pull back that worked, but for now I'm going to start clean and fresh. I'm going to be open to new things. And they can articulate that. When they can do that, then they're ready to move on to step three. So that's what I would encourage you to do. And whatever other assignments you have for them, that's fine too. But, you know, the reading of the text in our books are, and then making those lists and then being able to articulate their new conception of a power greater themselves.
So, in conclusion, we want to give you the principles from this step that you're going to use in your day-to-day life, in your living one day at a time. Remember, that's the purpose of all of this. And so if you're new in the program, the principle that you're going to rely on most is hope. Hope because for now, you don't have the experience that these things can actually work for you, that there really is a power greater than yourself that's going to intervene in your life. Or even if you're using your group, you don't know for sure that you're going to be able to get the kind of advice and direction and support that you're going to need to overcome this. And so in the beginning, hope has to be more than just an emotion or a thought. We're a program of action. And so you're going to have to open your eyes, be open-minded to see the signs of these things. Whether, like, say the group is your higher power. So when you go to your group, do you hear things that you've never heard before that click with you as true that you can use in your life that are going to help you make adjustments in your life to be able to get by easier or deal with the problems that you have? That you hear things, and it doesn't matter who it's from, you have to be open to everybody who shares. You can't just look at them and say, I'm going to listen to that one and not listen to that one. You have to listen to everybody and be open-minded to what you hear. And so you have to take an active role in your hope. You have to see the signs that are around you. Now, if you're relying on a power greater than yourself, or let's say you're relying on your group as your higher power, but you're open to the idea that there is something bigger than that, then look for the signs of that. look to things that are starting to happen in your life that can't be explained. They seem coincidental at first, but so many of these things start to happen, it's hard to just chuck it all up to coincidence. It's just happening too much. And so you can see that things are happening that you didn't bring about. It just seems life started to turn in your direction in a good way. And so you have to be open to that. And so armed with the knowledge from the first step of what you are and what you're up against, you add to that at the beginning of your day the hope that there is an answer, there is a solution, there is help for you. And so those two principles you need to start your day and try to carry that with you, never forgetting what you're up against, but never forgetting that there is hope and that you have the support that you need. And so those two principles will carry you a long way in the beginning. Now, let's say you've been around for a while and you've come to the place where you realize that there really is a power greater than yourself that's intimately involved in your life and has your back and has your best interests at heart. You still need to be open to that. You still need to look for that happening in your life. Don't take it for granted. Always have your mind open to the idea that the things that are happening in your life are by design and that they're for your benefit. So you have to be open to that, even if you've had some time. And then, of course, for long-term sobriety, the principle that you need to carry with you into your day is that the hope and the faith that you were given needs to be passed on. And, of course, that's carried out in step 12, but it is a part of step 2 because we never want to forget that the very foundation of our day-to-day life is the same for us as it is for the newcomer. We remember who we are, what we are, and that we need help, but the help is available. And so I wanted to share that with you because that's going to become the foundation for step 3. As I've said before, each step prepares us for the next one. It is the foundation for the next one. And so we're going to build on that. Keith, any final words?
I don't have any final words other than I think we all learned something here. Thanks for having me again, Jim.
Thanks, Keith, and we will see you next time for step 3.
Thank you for listening to Living One Day at a Time. Please send your comments and questions to jim@recoverydaily.com. We would love to hear from you.